listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
John Stash Hour in this morning for Tony D. Josh Edwards writes about the NFL draft for CBSSports.com. He's on Twitter at EdwardsCBS, and he joins us now on Sports Map Radio. So a lot to get to, Josh, obviously, for this year's draft. I want to ask you first about a draft pick made a year ago, because it's very much in the news now. What did you think a year ago when the Packers made that move to trade up and get Jordan Love? Obviously, it may not be the only reason Aaron Rodgers wants to be traded, but it's clearly one of the reasons. What do you think of it then? What do you think of it now?
Well, from a talent perspective, I was fine with where they took him. Obviously, that's been a part of their process in the past with replacing some of these quarterbacks later in their career with rookie quarterbacks that maybe can take a couple of years to develop. The issue with that is you typically look for the blessing of the incumbent quarterback because it can create this toxic work environment, which apparently we're now seeing in Green Bay. I think the way that he reacted last year did not exactly surprise anyone that we are now down this path. So I was fine with the talent. I was fine with the process. But when you're looking at today's NFL quarterbacks, these guys are playing until they're about 40 years old. So you have to be careful when you bring those type of bridge quarterbacks in.
Yeah, they're playing at a older age, and the rookies are playing right away. I mean, we remember the days when it was more, like Rodgers, to hold the clipboard for 3 years like he did. Maybe not three, but at least one or two. Mahomes did for one, but these guys are playing right away. So, that begs the question, why would you draft Jordan Love if he wasn't going to be able to play for a while?
Yeah, I think that's fair. There are certainly expectations with rookie quarterbacks. We saw Patrick Mahomes. He was able to sit for a year. I think that really benefited in his, overall growth. And that was probably Green Bay's hope for Jordan Love as well. I just don't think they foresaw Aaron Rodgers playing at an MVP caliber level in 2020, which is an entirely different argument. I mean, I don't know how you didn't see that coming or thought that he might regress. That was fairly obvious that he was still going to be playing at a high level. So, they've made their bed, and now they've got to sleep in it.
All right, so let's talk about these quarterbacks, Josh. And obviously, forget Trevor Lawrence. We know him, and everyone was going to take him number one. But the Jets with Wilson, the decision to cut ties with Darnold and go with Wilson, obviously the real gamble by the 49ers, considering what they gave up. The Bears gave up a first-round pick to get Fields. The Patriots stood pat and got Mac Jones. What's your take on those four quarterbacks, where they went, when they went, and your thoughts on how good they might be?
Well, I think Trey Lance and Mac Jones ended up in ideal situations. You never want to underestimate Bill Belichick and what he's capable of, so that's obviously a good landing spot for Mac Jones, although I'm sure he was a little disappointed that he beat number three overall. As it relates to Trey Lance, perfect fit with Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan has lost Super Bowls with Matt Ryan and Jimmy Garoppolo, so it made sense that he would want to go in a bit of a different direction and have a more mobile quarterback. So the fact that he's going to be able to do this read option, get the ball out quickly, all this kind of stuff with Trey Lance, I think is going to be really interesting. And then they drafted Trey Sermon later, so they're getting some of these high caliber players that are going to be able to run their scheme. And then as it relates to Justin Fields, I love the value where Chicago, was able to move up and get him. They didn't have to give up a ransom like San Francisco did to get number three, but they still got a potential franchise quarterback. Now, the issue, as it is with a lot of these quarterbacks, is the situation. Did he land in a good enough situation that's going to enable him to be successful? Because like we saw with Sam Darnold, that's not always the case. So that's my biggest concern with Justin Fields. I think he's a really good player. I'm not sure that he's going to be able to transcend what's around him, but now that's what we're tasked with finding out.
Do you expect to see all these guys on the field in 2021? I mean, I think Wilson certainly, but Garoppolo is still in San Francisco. Cam Newton is still in New England. So how do you think that's going to play out?
Yeah, I would say that Trey Lance is maybe the least likely, just because they have a competent quarterback that could start. With that being said, I still expect him to start probably a sizable amount of the games at some point for him, because it sounded like San Francisco was willing to move on from Jimmy Garoppolo this weekend. And it's one of those cases where Garoppolo has not been able to stay healthy. I mean, that's what led to the decision to bring in another quarterback. So I expect him to be on the field at some point. Mac Jones, you kind of expect him to be on the field week one even. Justin Fields, that one's going to be a little interesting because they already named Andy Dalton QB1, which I don't think anybody believes it, but I could certainly understand a thought process where we have a veteran quarterback that's won some games in the NFL. Let's not do wrong by Justin Fields long term by trying to get some short term gain and some short term excitement. And then, like you said, Zach Wilson, he's got to start. That's the only option on that roster right now.
And they did, you know, they were criticized for not helping Darnold out. And what did the Jets do? Elijah Moore, Vera Tucker, the two Elijahs. Elijah on the offensive line, also an Elijah to wide out. I mean, and it looked like a lot of these teams take the quarterback and then, okay, now we got to help the quarterback. Is that something new in the NFL? I mean, it would seem to make some sense. You draft the quarterback, you got to help the quarterback out.
Well, it shouldn't be new. I mean, like you kind of intimated there, it should be something that's pretty, you know, common knowledge. It should be something that every team strives to do, but that hasn't always been the case. So to see what Joe Douglas did this weekend was really impressive. You know, they added two Elijahs, like you said. They also added two Michael Carters.
Yeah, right.
But one of them plays defense.
They tackled each. One guy tackled the other one in the ACC. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, yeah. So they did add some of this offensive talent around Zach Wilson. Now to the point where you've got Mekhi Becton playing left tackle. You've got Elijah Vera Tucker playing left guard. That should be one of the better young left sides of the offensive line in the NFL. And then you've got Corey Davis to go with Denzel Mims and Elijah Moore. And now you've got Michael Carter in the backfield with LaMichael Perine. I mean, you're starting to see these pieces coming together. I don't think they're quite there yet. Probably need a few more pieces along the offensive line. You know, maybe a better feature running back. But you can see where it's starting to come together. You can see the vision of what they're trying to accomplish on that side of the ball.
Yeah, and their defense needs work, but their coach is a defensive guy. So, all right, so the Jets seem to be on the road, up, nowhere to go but up, but they're on the road. What about the Giants, Josh? Because Dave Gettleman had never traded back, and then he did it twice, and I got a lot of high marks for the way he played this thing out. And you got to give Gettleman credit because he may not be the general manager for that long, and yet he kind of looked more towards the future with stockpiling draft picks for next year, which might be a better draft, where you can see all guys having played in college football. What do you think about what the Giants did?
Yeah, his willingness to acquire future picks kind of leads me to believe that maybe he has some more future assurances than what the public would want to believe. To trade down, I love the compensation that they were able to get in return. Now taking Kadarius Toney, I don't know if I love the fit and the value of where they took him. I think there were probably better options with that selection. Aziz Ojulari, if the health checks out, that's a fantastic pick in the second round. I mean, that's a home run to get him at number 50 overall. Aaron Robinson was one of my top seven cornerbacks in the class, guy with lots of length. He's got some versatility where he played inside. He could probably play outside if you asked him to. Ellerson Smith is a guy that, you know, it's kind of a situational edge rusher. There's a lot of people that liked him in the league. Gary Brightwell, I liked him in spades as a running back from Arizona. And then Rodarius Williams, the cornerback from Oklahoma State, to get him in the sixth round as well, I thought was good value. So really solidly executed draft by Dave Gettleman. I wasn't the biggest fan of the Toney pick, but I think he got really good value as the weekend progressed.
John Stashire with Josh Edwards from CBSSports.com. We're talking NFL draft here on Sports Map Radio. Give me a pick that was made at some point that really opened your eyes, that was like, wow, I wasn't expecting that.
Well, I wasn't expecting the Browns to take Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah in the second round, more so because I didn't think he would be available. So it was very interesting to see them kind of get aggressive and move up and get him, because that team has invested so much on the defensive side of the ball this year. The 2020 offseason was spent upgrading the offense, and we saw that come to life on the field that season. But now to see the emphasis on the defense, where you've brought in John Johnson, you brought in Troy Hill, brought in Pat McKinley and Jadeveon Clowney and Greg Newsome and Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, to go with Grant Delpit coming back and Denzel Ward and Myles Garrett. Like, they've got some pieces on that side of the ball where it may no longer be a fluke if they're in contention for the AFC.
I mean, was there a – you mentioned, Tony, as far as value, I mean, that's how you have to kind of know how to play this game. I mean, were there examples of guys taken, you know, well before they need, especially early on, more than they needed to be, where they could have maybe still been taken later on?
Peyton Turner in the first round was a little higher than I expected. I do like the player. I do like the motor that he shows on the field. I like the flashes of potential that I've seen, the length that he has at the position. And I think he's ended up in a good situation with New Orleans. I just thought, you know, maybe they could have traded back a little bit and still got the player that they had wanted with accumulating some additional draft capital as well. So that would be one off the top of my head that was a little bit surprising, but not understandable either, if that makes sense. So there was a lot over the course of the weekend, but off the top of my head, that's probably one that sticks out.
All right, you want to weigh in on this Aaron Rodgers thing? What's your best guess on do we see Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay? Do we see him in Las Vegas? Do we see him just hosting Jeopardy? What do you think?
I wish I had a better feel on this, because I could see it going in any number of directions. I think probably the way that the wind is blowing, he's probably not going to be the starting quarterback in Green Bay next year. I don't know what that means for his future. I don't know if it's a Carson Palmer situation where he's perfectly fine walking away from the walking away from the game right now, and, you know, hosting Jeopardy, like you said, until he's willing to be granted his demands by Green Bay and traded to another team, like I said with Carson Palmer. I could see him being traded to Miami because they still have a lot of draft capital. You know, maybe that's a situation where Brian Flores looks at it as a significant upgrade and he says, okay, like we've built a roster that is capable of competing right now. Aaron Rodgers might be the missing piece. Maybe this is a guy that we need to go and get.
That's going to be fascinating. I mean, will it be hard to trade him? I mean, he's got the big salary. I mean, the teams have just made their – I mean, teams are – after the draft, they've had free agency, they've had the draft. Now they're kind of set with how they're going to go, and now they're going to go get Aaron Rodgers. I mean, is it going to be a hard thing for the Packers to pull off if they do have to trade him?
Well, if there's a will, there's a way. We've seen that this offseason with – Jared Goff trade, with the Carson Wentz trade. So I don't think the financial situation is going to be too much of an implication. The timing of the situation is less than ideal, obviously, because it would have been nice if, you know, these two parties had kind of come to this resolution weeks before the draft. So maybe they could have worked something out in time to where Green Bay was able to get, you know, a couple first round picks in this draft, or a first in this year and a first next year and beyond. But that wasn't the case. I mean, it was kind of sprung on everybody, at least publicly, the day of the draft. And at that point, it's just too quick for that kind of a deal to come together.
Josh, thanks for the time. We appreciate it. Take care.
Thank you. Take care.
Josh Edwards, CBSSports.com. All right, we'll take a final timeout, wrap things up on this Monday morning. Sports Map Radio.